All right, hello again, and welcome back to another edition of the Atheist News Network. And this week we've got a couple of doozies to go on, and the first of which is actually a survey done that asked whether or not you support for terror suspect torture if it differs among the faithful versus the unfaithful.
See, I always thought that religious people were more moral than atheists. At least that's what they tell me, right? How can you be moral if you're an atheist? By what standard?
Yeah, I've heard that quite a bit.
Even though, for example, Christians are, what, 75% of the population in general?
Yep.
And they make up about 75% of the jail population. Atheists are like, what, 10 to 15% of the population? They make up like a tenth of 1% of the jail population. So I don't know if that claim holds, but this is some more support. The fact that atheists are more ethical than religious people.
Now, the interesting thing is before we get into the survey, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on this, because you watched that show 24, mm-hmm. and I've seen a couple episodes while sitting up there with you, and the Jack Bauer character, he does use torture to get his
I think face. 24 has done more for the acceptance of torture than any other argument. Because clearly in 24, you know, the clock is ticking and lots of people will die if Jack doesn't torture these brown people. And it always works. His methods work all the time. What you see in real torture is that eventually they will end up saying whatever they think you want them to say
to stop the
torture. It may be true, it may not be true. They just start saying anything. So I don't think torture in real life is very effective. And I think it violates basic human rights and it is never acceptable. The better option, you know, there was a big argument between the CIA and the FBI. The CIA doesn't have to prosecute cases. So they're all for torture. Let's torture these people. Let's waterboard them. Let's do everything we can. The FBI says no. It's better we get more reliable information if we befriend them and try to get this information coming from a more reliable sort of venue. Plus, we can then use that information to prosecute. And guess who won?
I'm going to assume the FBI.
The CIA one, yeah.
Oh, good God.
And and so we've waterboarded and we've tortured these people for the past 8 years under the Bush administration. And, you know, a lot of people have had problems with it, but, you know, Bush is king, so it went on during his administration. They actually had all these memos and documents written up to justify it. It's amazing. It's completely unconstitutional. It's against the Geneva Convention. But, you know, they declared him enemy combatant, so they don't have to – they don't fall under the regular constitution, and they don't fall under Geneva. It's just horrible. It's absolutely, absolutely horrible. In my opinion, torture is never, ever justified. And I think the information that you get from it is unreliable to boot.
Well, see, the way I look at it is much the same way you do. I see it – take a look at a small child.
But if the person is brown, I suppose you can torture him a little bit.
You know, I'm a little offended that you just lump all brown people together. Let's just call them towel heads and get it over with.
God. It's – what I love, too, is before 9/11, mostly the terrorists were – they had German accents or sometimes they were British.
Yeah.
They were never Americans, you know. And it was the Oklahoma bombing that kind of brought it home that, yeah, you know, we do have homegrown terrorists.
Well, anyway, the way I look at torture is you look at a child.
Some terrorists are actually white, and they don't have an accent.
I don't know about that. They all have some sort of root in either Germany or the Middle Eastern countries.
Some vague, exotic-sounding accent.
Yes, yes. But they hide it beneath these right. hooked-on phonics tapes. Anyway, if Charlie will let me speak, I look at it as children, where you take one child and they develop in a household where, yes, there is punishment for doing wrong, but then you look at the other child who's raised in a household where he's beaten a lot, and you'll find that the one who's raised in the household that has punishment for things you've done wrong but isn't beating the shit out of the child, they will actually be more forthright with their answers than the one who is being beaten, because the one who is being beaten is just the one who's going to say whatever it takes to get out of there, to defuse the situation.
In my experience, they'll both lie like hell because they're kids. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. I wasn't even alive then. It didn't happen.
Well, that's true. Charlie has more experience with children than I do.
It always amazes me when parents are like, no, that couldn't have happened because my child told me it didn't. It's like, what? What? Are you crazy? Children lie. That's what they do.
They get out of trouble. That's true.
But on the spectrum, probably, yeah. I would say that it's more on, if you know you're going to get beat,
whether you regardless. Tell the truth or lie about it, you might as well just say whatever it takes.
Right, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, this study showed that 54%, more than half of people who attend church services at least once a week, so these are the most religious of our society, 54% said the use of torture against suspected terrorists is often or sometimes justified. The people who seldom or never go to church, only 42%. And I think that's outrageous myself. Now, the sample size is small. I find it hard to believe that almost half of atheists believe in torture. But at least we've got a 12% ethical advantage over the religious people.
But that's only because we garnered some of our morality from religion.
We borrowed from Christianity. Yeah. Had we done that, we would probably have exactly 54%. anyway, this study is evidence that the more you go to church, the less ethical you are, I think. The more you're likely to torture people or approve of torture.
See, and that was something that came up that we didn't really cover in this coming week's podcast, is that where morality is concerned, for those who are non-believers, morality is morality, period. You do something because it's moral. In religious terms, you can do something immoral because you're told to do it.
Yes. Yes. Pascal, I think, said, men never do evil so cheerfully and thoroughly as when they do it in the name of God.
Yeah.
For religious purposes. It's interesting that it's very difficult to make convince an atheist that an immoral action is moral. But it's very, very easy to convince someone who believes in a God that an immoral action is moral. All you have to do is say that God approves of it. God's on your side. He wants you to do that. Otherwise, why would we mutilate the genitals of our children? Why do we circumcise boys? The only reason is religious.
Yep.
You know, there are all kinds of things that can be, you can be convinced. Torture is one of them. You know, these people have a different religion than us. Therefore, we can torture them. That's okay.
They aren't of our religion. In fact, they're heretics.
Right. They're trying to harm us. And they're harming us because they're radical Muslims. So let's torture them. It'll save American lives. God would want to do it, you know. Where in the New Testament does Jesus say, it's okay to torture people? Psh, no problem.
You know, it's interesting. It makes me think of my military days where, surprise, surprise, there was a religious sort of fellow there. And as I was talking to him about this conflict in the Middle East and about the terrorists coming in and so on and so forth, his comment to me is he believed that we should just turn the entire place to glass and then be done with it. Then we wouldn't have this issue anymore.
Right, because genocide won't breed any more hatred of America. I think the world would be happy. Oh, they didn't like a country? They just glassed the whole Middle East. No problem. I think you would ignite a world war. And, it reminds me of what Ann Coulter said. Oh, we should invade the entire Middle East and forcibly convert them to Christianity. Yeah, that'll do wonders for us.
Didn't that already happen during the Holy Wars? We saw how well that went over.
And again, you know, if you don't know history, if you're not aware that it's already failed during the Crusades, that wasn't very effective.
I'm sure
you're doomed to repeat it.
I'm sure it was. I mean, that entire fighting had to have some sort of good come out of it.
Sure. I'm sure that, you know, when we forcibly converted all these Muslims to Christianity, they stayed converted once the Muslims relieved them and threw us out.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, we're Christians now.
Yeah, we're Christians. Should we leave with these Europeans?
We deeply believe in Christianity.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Horrible, horrible. But these idiots like Ann Coulter really, truly believe that that's the solution.
Obviously.
All right, so we've established that atheists are more ethical than most Christians, at least evangelical Christians.
Yes.
12% more moral. Let's move on to an article that's even closer to my heart. Missouri politicians have decided, let me just read this to you. On a 115-43 vote, they've approved House Bill 226, an amendment that specifies that no pharmacy can be required to perform, assist, recommend, refer to, or participate in any act or service resulting in an abortion, and it will be immune from liability for refusing to do so. So there are absolutely no professional standards for pharmacists anymore in the state of Missouri. So if a physician prescribes a medication, they can say, I don't think so.
Well,
they don't even have to refer them to anyone else. They don't have to say, hey, there's a pharmacy down the street that'll do it for you. Nope, I'm not going
to
do it.
They just bite their tongues. And I mean, this comes down to what we've discussed already on this show. And what that is where do you draw the line? If you are basing your laws on your religion, that means that right now it's abortion. But what happens if you get somebody in there that doesn't believe in antibiotics? Then they aren't going to give you any.
Or blood transfusions. I mean, these people are idiots. This is not a case of pharmacists' conscience rights. This is not a case where the pharmacist ought to put his personal beliefs above the patient's. It is a case of patient's rights. And in the case of Plan B, which is no more than an increased dose of birth control, you know, I got news for you guys. If you are prescribing orthotricycline or Yasmin or any of the birth controls, you know, you take three or four of these pills, it is Plan B. It's exactly the same thing. Are you going to stop dispensing birth control because it's on your conscience that someone might take four of the pills at once?
Of course, because if a child is conceived, that is God's plan. Using birth control is impeding God's plan.
God. If you have a problem dispensing medication, any medication at all, you need to get out of the profession of pharmacist.
Well, the craziest
Goodbye.
Thing
Leave.
About this.
Get out.
The craziest thing about
what
this.
What I was going to say about Plan B, before I forget, is that Plan B is time sensitive. The longer you wait, the less effective it is. So I would love for one of these guys to have, and this will go to the Supreme Court, you'll have a wrongful birth because this guy not only did not dispense the medication, but he didn't tell the person where to get it. And so she had to go back and find a place and drive hours and hours to this different place where she could hope, because all the pharmacies in Missouri. So she might have to go out of state.
Yeah.
So she could have to drive out of state to get – and by that time, it wasn't effective. She took it. It didn't work. She still had the baby. It could have been prevented. And so I'd like this to go all the way to the Supreme Court and have the pharmacist – overturned, that this law would be overturned on a federal level. Both the state of Missouri and the pharmacist would have to be liable for the child's birth, his education, his medical bills, all the way up to age 18. How much do you guys believe in this? Because this specifically shields them from lawsuits.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, see, what I find to be the craziest thing about this entire setup is not only are they not required to say anything or dispense anything, but they can actually take a patient's prescription and refuse to give it back to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's horrible. Yeah. That is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And, you know, it's only abortion, right? So basically what this law is telling women is, hey, you need to be punished for having sex. You can't have sex and get away with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect men at all. It's just women, right? Men can have sex all they want. Women need to be punished. It's not about the control of the reproductive tract or women's rights or anything like that. It's about punishing women for having sex. That's all it's about.
Yeah, and it's exactly. And obviously, women should be smarter than men and should be in more control of their hormones because they are women.
Well, women honestly shouldn't. They should, if they have sex, they should deal with the consequences as God intended.
Yes.
Which are venereal diseases and HIV and kids.
Yep.
You shouldn't take any steps to prevent the natural consequence of sex. You shouldn't have sex for pleasure. It's purely for the purpose of procreation. So if you have sex, eat it. You're going to have to deal with the consequences. Yep.
This is God stepping in, and he is guiding the Missouri House, guiding 115 to 43. Are you kidding me? 115 of you can't see the problems where this is concerned?
It's Missouri. Up until 10 years ago, it was okay to shoot Mormons on site in Missouri.
Awesome. I got to move to Missouri.
Well, they overturned that.
Oh.
All right. So I think we've beat that one into the ground. So that's ANN for this week. We'll see you next week.